I feel that the Lord has anointed me this morning to share with you my testimony about Elders Retreat, as the anointing of the Lord is resting so mightily upon me. And so I would like you to project yourselves back into that place that we were last week as we begin to walk through what God did in that marvelous, marvelous time. For I believe that the Lord did not do that just for the eldership, but rather that He would desire and long to do that same work in you. Now, this is going to take me a few minutes, and so music ministry may choose to remain seated rather than be up here on the platform, because otherwise you might have to stand here for a while. But, oh, I want to tell you that the power and the Spirit of God is here to touch you and to do a very significant work in you, because I know that the Lord would not leave the body behind in that which He desires to perform. And I know that if you will put yourself in tune with the Spirit of God, and if you will yield unto the voice of the Lord this morning, that you will find yourself having these very same works done in you. Now, it might not happen exactly the same, because each one of us are unique vessels, and God deals with each one of us in a very unique way. But nevertheless, the results are the same. The results are the same, because we are going to be one as Jesus is one with the Father. We are going to be one with one another as Jesus is one with the Father. And as Don's testimony came forth Friday night, I feel that if you will project yourself with me and we'll walk through that elders meeting day after day, that testimony that was given Monday night will become so very much more real to you than it has before. And besides that, you will not feel like that He has been projected into an area or place where no man can go, but that rather God also has a place for you, just as He has a place for every single one of us, and nobody can take your place. No one can take your place. It was such a beautiful, beautiful ground up there, and the weather was so beautiful. We arrived, as you know, in early afternoon, and then we had the afternoon to just relax and get ready for that evening session, but as I noticed, there were still some could not keep themselves off their knees because they longed for God so much. And even though the pastor had said you can rest and relax during this time, still we heard prayers coming out of various rooms. And we heard prayers coming out of that room that was set aside for our meetings, that was set apart by a large lawn from the restaurant area or from our sleeping areas. And so as we began to gather together after dinner, as we approached that room, it was a very large room and had windows up high. And so on one side you looked out in the windows frame, beautiful large cedar trees. On the other side was the court area with the lawn that stretched out before you could see the view of the sound out beyond. And as we came into that room, the first thing that I noticed is how Wayne Snowy had brought pieces of carpet from here that the floor might be plush for us to lie down in. And I saw carpet from the old chapel. I saw carpet from the new chapel. I saw carpet from the various college rooms. I saw carpet from even the Sunday school rooms. I saw a piece of carpet from my own home. And I thought, oh, Lord, you have brought all of chapel here. You brought every aspect of the chapel. And here's our prayer carpets right here. We are united together because the whole center of that large room was all left bare, and chairs were all around the periphery. And as we began to pray that night, it wasn't too long until chair after chair was emptied, and now people were all over the center of that room. Oh, we were so desperate for God. We wanted a touch from the Lord. And as we began to move, I don't think it was over 5 minutes until the Spirit of Revelation gave us a revelation as to exactly what God's heart was. And God looked at our hearts, and he let us know that he saw our needs, and he saw how desperate we were, but that he wanted us to lay aside our selfishness. He wanted us to lay aside our selfish reasons for coming, and not that they weren't pure in themselves, that they wanted a touch so they could give out. But the Lord said, I want the first fruits. I want the first fruits. I want you to praise me. I want you to worship me. I want you to lay aside your own wants, your own desires, your own desperation, your own needs for your various ministries. And I just want you to begin to lift up your hands and praise and worship and adore me. And as we began to do that, I could sense, because God seemed to have just given me his heart and his concern, I could sense that we were beginning to move into that to a measure, but it wasn't fulfilling the Lord's heart to the extent that God desired to have his heart fulfilled. But nevertheless, we were doing it as best we could. It was difficult. We were needy people. Oh, we wanted to be completely released. We wanted to have our ministries renewed. We wanted to have our bodies renewed. We wanted to have a fresh vision. We wanted a fresh visitation from the Lord. And it was difficult to just lay all those things aside, but we tried, and we began to move in, and then the pastor called us to break up into little groups and begin to form a unity just in that little group of praising and worshiping the Lord. And because I sensed something that God wanted from us, I grabbed Mark Yoker's, because I know that that's a man so full of the Word of God. And I sensed that the Lord wanted us to give him back his Word, to pray back the fullness of the Word. And I thought, oh, there's a Psalms teacher. I'm going to get next to him, because he'll be able to begin to pray back the Psalms to the Lord in praise and worship, and I can kind of hook onto that. And I know that that's going to please the Lord's heart, but it didn't come forth. And then as we continued to wait there before the Lord, and we worshiped him and praised him in both tongues and English, the Lord began to move upon me. And he said, is there one? Is there one that could praise me? Oh, is there one that will praise me from a pure heart? Can I find a pure heart? And I began, the Spirit of God began to move upon me and give me the commission. Go find me the pure hearts. Go find me the pure hearts that will praise me. And I went over and laid my hands on his sister, and immediately I saw her heart. And there it was, exposed before the Lord. And I said, see, Lord, here's one. Here's one, look, that's an absolute pure heart. Look at that heart, Jesus. Here, she'll praise you with her whole heart, Jesus. She is absolutely pure, Lord. She'll praise you. Here she gives you. And the Spirit of the Lord would come upon her, and she would begin to praise. I went to another. I went to several like this. And immediately I knew their hearts. Some were not absolutely pure. And one I saw a speck right in it. See, it was a flaw right there in that. But I said, look at all the rest of her heart, Jesus. And so his mercy just covered that one area. And she went ahead and began to really praise and worship the Lord. Oh, I wish I could have just gone around to each one. I felt like I'm gathering up those that would just praise the Lord with a pure heart. Oh, there's nothing that pleases the Lord more. You know, after hearing God's testimony, we can see that nothing impresses God. There's no way we can impress God with anything down here in this earth, nothing at all. No matter how beautiful our voice is, no matter how refined our technique is, it doesn't impress Jesus at all. He's so far above all of that. But oh, that contrite heart, that broken and contrite heart, and that one that trembles at his word, that's the one, that's the one. The one that just wants to worship him and praise him. And so the Lord was able to do a wonderful thing in us that night as we just continued to worship and praise the Lord. And I know that we were able to satisfy his heart in a measure before that meeting was over. But the next morning when we came to that service, it seemed now that the tenor had changed. Oh, I just wanted to keep on just praising Jesus forever. But that wasn't, we had our opportunity. We praised him. We were able to do that for a certain percentage, you know, say 100% is perfect and whatever scale it was. And then the Lord began to bless us according to the measure that we had measured out to Him. And that was the day that God began to just touch hearts. And that was a time when there were just things taken out of people and there was just good, wonderful prayer going on all across that whole room. God delivered many, and I could give you testimony of how God used me in specific ways as I laid my hands on people and so forth, but I won't take time for that because I have a lot of other things that I need to share. But then as we came into that afternoon and then the evening service, it seemed like in that evening service, all of a sudden, the enemy struck us. And we didn't have the same discernment. We didn't have the same anointing. There were so many of us that just didn't have that same thing there, you know. And we came against, so somebody came, and all of a sudden I got a terrific, terrific pain in my throat. And I couldn't say one word without coughing. And I'd try to say a word again, and that cough would be there. And a brother came over, Tom Knopf, and he said, "You got trouble with your throat, don't you?" And I said, "I sure do." And we prayed about that thing and got that thing out of there within a few minutes, but my speech swelled up double size. I just swelled up. And we prayed on that. And then pretty soon Jana came over, and she says, "You know, I feel like there's a real hindrance here, and we're just, you know, and I feel like we just need Jesus. We need Jesus." And that was the very thing that I knelt down there and started to pray. "Jesus, we need you. We need you. Angels are fine. They're wonderful. We appreciate every one of them, but Jesus, we need you. We need you." But I wasn't able that night to continue that prayer because it seemed like the heart of God through me was just cut off. But and then Don got up and we really came against those spirits that were hindering and blocking. And there was a major release that night. But oh, the next morning, I couldn't even go after breakfast to back to my room. Even though there was time, I just had to get right over there to that room and begin to seek Jesus for Jesus. And as I knelt down, the power of the Lord came upon me, and I just cried out, "Oh, Jesus, we need you, we need you, we must have you, we must have you." For a half hour, I just said, "Oh, Jesus, we've got to have you." And then the Lord began to feed my mind with revelation. He let me know, "I want to touch the pastors today. I want to touch the pastors of the satellite churches today." Because the night before we had shared what God had given us concerning this elder's retreat at an elder's prayer meeting before we had left. And so we were aware of some things and we had made that known. And the Lord just began to let me know that He wanted to touch the pastors. And that was so strong within me that by now there were others that had gathered around there to pray. And so I just went up to the microphone and I said, "You know, we got to pray because God wants to touch the pastors. And let's just unite in prayer and begin to pray and believe we got to have a visitation from Jesus." And I just began to pour out my heart. And then another, I think a message came forth from the Lord. And then Janet received a revelation from the Lord. And then the power of God came upon Marvin Williams. And he stepped up to that microphone and he began to pray out that prayer of faith. And when he did, he called the ministers, the pastors that were there forward, and he says, "Get right up here in the middle and get in a circle, and we're going to believe God to touch you. We got a word from the Lord, and we're going to go with it." And as he began to take that microphone and pray down the power of God upon those ministers, you could see the power of God began to fall upon them one after another. Before long, their hands were up, their hands were joined together, and God began to move upon those precious men of God. And then we just had them lay down so that they, because we could see this was going to take a while. And they did. They laid down with their feet all toward the center, and their own elders and other ministers and intercessors and so forth gathered around them. And oh, God did a breaking work. Those men were each one dealt with individually and carefully by the power of God. Michaels was over there weeping and weeping and weeping. Bob Shaw, his shoulders were shaking under the anointing and the power of God as he sobbed out to the Lord. And I could go right down through. Nikki Lembo, all of you just saw the power of God descend upon them, and deep works were done. And I hope before all of them head back that you'll get a chance to hear about some of those things. Don came in, and he found a place there over a little ways, and people began to minister to him. And he needed a sweater, and so I walked back to the room to get a sweater. I just, "Oh, Lord, it's today the day, Lord, it's today the day. Oh, I wanted him to receive that which God had promised for him so badly. You see, I made that the priority of my ministry, is to pray for my husband. And I remember when I was 7 or 8 years old, out in the dirt driveway when we lived in a little two-room house, I squatted down in the sun and I just prayed for my husband to be clear down. In my childhood, as early as 6 or 7, I was praying for my husband. I know God has his hand upon that man. And as I walked back with his sweater, I got a chair and put it a little ways away, and I knelt down and began to pray. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and I thought, oh, Lord, could there be something that you need to do with me first? And immediately Marvin Williams was there, and he organized some way. I don't know what happened, but I know he was there, and pretty soon he had those people around that were the ones that needed to be there. And I appreciate that ministry so much, because you see, to my understanding, a prophetic ministry is one which helps organize the spirituals in the body. It helps the body come together. It helps each one to find their place, sensitive to the spirituals. You know, I appreciate Jack Hicks so much, because we've got such a wonderful organizers of the operations of this. Under Don, he's a terrific organizer in the operations, the whole operation and the corporation of the church and all of that. And I just appreciate him so much. But oh, hallelujah, now God has sent us a man. And he was able to discern and gather those up. And all of a sudden, I saw myself in that place that I've seen myself before. And that is on the operating table, ready to be wheeled into the operating room. Once before, I found myself there on the operating table, ready to go into the operating room, but I didn't go in. And at that time, the Lord said to me, do you care who operates on you? And I said, well, Lord, I trust you. That's what I'll do. I'll just trust you to choose. You know what I need. Well, all of a sudden, I found myself there again. I saw those doors to the operating room swing open, and I was wheeled in. I could never describe to you what God did for me that day. He brought hurts up out of my heart that I didn't even know I had. And I felt those hurts deeply, but then he would take and operate on that one. He would bring incidences to my mind. He brought things to my mind that I didn't realize even that those people had hurt me. But when I felt the hurt there, then I knew that that was indeed a sore one. You know, that was a sore one. All right, Jesus, I didn't even know I had that sore one. And thing after thing after thing, God took out of me. And at the same time, there must have been a bushel basket full of demons that left me, and I am so thankful. And when that was over, I would weep and weep and weep with the hurt. I would feel the hurt, and I would weep over the hurt. And then I would stop and begin to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh, because now it was all gone. The owie was gone. And then another owie would come, and I would weep and weep, and then I would laugh and laugh. And I don't know what the poor people thought praying for me. But anyway, I just want them to know. See, I haven't been able to say this because I lost my voice. My husband hasn't heard either. I lost my voice. It's a miracle I'm talking. I couldn't talk like this 5 minutes ago or when before I came up here. The Lord is so good. When I was wheeled out of that operating room, I did not go back to where I was. I went out the other end. And I found myself in a new place in God. And there, as I was worshiping and praising the Lord, all of a sudden I realized I have such a tremendous love for my husband. I did not know. You know, when we got married, I said, honey, there's no way I can love you anymore. I love you as much as is humanly possible to love a man. I can't love you anymore. I know that. Well, of course, I laugh at that now, because I love him so much more now than I did then. But when I came out of that operating room, oh, I love him. Oh, I do love him. And then the Lord showed me. He said, you know, I brought Marvin and Joy Williams here to do this for you. That's how much I love you. He goaded on a man's heart clear back there in Springfield, Missouri, and said, I want you out in the Northwest. I want you out in the Northwest. I want you out. They never even heard of Community Chapel at that time. They moved out here to Seattle, and then they found out where God wanted them. Didn't even disclose himself. until about 8 months after it'd been here herself. Oh, Jesus knows us. Jesus knows every one of his own, and he knows how to meet their needs. And so that morning session for me, needless to say, was so glorious, because here those brethren that I love so much, the satellite pastors, were touched. And then the Lord graciously did that for me, but my husband didn't get much that morning. Then Tuesday afternoon, it was another wonderful session again when we prayed for the elders of the satellite churches, and God ministered and ministered and ministered to them. And after it was all over, I was just laid down. Somebody came to me, I guess, and the devil had hit them, one of the intercessors. And as I began to take authority over that thing, the power of God fell upon us both. And we found ourselves laying on the floor, worshiping and praising and magnifying God. And that's the point in time where God lifted me up and gave me the experience that he wants every single one of us to have. But I'm going to hold that experience until the end, because I think it makes a better ending to this testimony than it does right at this point in time. Then Tuesday night when we came, this is Wednesday night. Wednesday evening when we came, we were going to pray, I believe it was for our own elders. I'm not positive now, I've gotten things. Wednesday night I believe we had some testimonies come forth. And it was so good as we saw Brother Michaels get up there and weep out what God had done for him that morning. And Nikki Lembo had shared some things. And you see, the Lord had revealed that there was going to be one pastor and his wife that were going to come out as wounded. The devil had wounded them, and their wounds must be healed. And the Lord had very definitely taken care of that situation and graciously healed those wounds. And those got up and shared about that and how wonderful and blessed that was to have that thing taken care of. And it was a very, very deep thing. The enemy is so subtle, and he knows when he hurts hard. But oh, Jesus, he knows how to heal good. The enemy might hurt hard, but Jesus can heal good. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thursday morning when we came, our own elders were going to be ministered to that day. And they began to be ministered to, and the Lord did mighty works in them, but somehow we weren't just quite satisfied with it, you know. We felt like that there was something more, and again, the enemy came and hit me, and I got so sick. Oh, did I get sick? My stomach ached. My throat hurt. I felt like I had a file in my throat this long. And then Don could sense that people were weary, and he said, we want to just give you time to break now in this afternoon and just come and pray and then just go ahead and go out and relax and whatever you need to do. And so I took a blanket and I went out underneath those cedar trees around behind where I told you it was there. And I took a blanket out there and a pillow, and I just laid down and waited before the Lord. And pretty soon the thought come in my mind, oh, I'm sick. And I thought, yeah, you're sick. Now you've identified yourself. Sick, get out. Get out of here. I do not want you. And then I'm going to get sick. And I says, you're not going to get sick. You get out. You're not going to get sick. I don't want him. I just kicked him out. And you are not going to get him. You just get. And I kept going through this in my mind. See, I realized that all of a sudden I labeled this I'm sick as a noun to the name of that devil that was bothering me. And then my heart began to quiver. And all of a sudden, you know, I know what happens when it begins to do this, and then it goes, and then it, you know. And you know what I saw at that point? I saw you back here in Seattle. And I heard a voice come out of you and said, oh, no, you don't, you devil. You're not touching her heart. That my heart straightened right back up. And that was that. Hallelujah. Oh, I knew by the Spirit of God that Thursday night then was the night for Don to get touched. And as we came into that meeting, the presence of the Lord was there so mightily. And as he laid down on one of those carpets, I think it was the green one. And those different ones gathered round about him. I tell you, I was so determined that nothing hindered this time, you know. I wanted him to be able to be where God wanted him. I wanted him to have those experiences that God had promised him. And you see, I had seen the Lord take Don away. I had seen the Lord take Don and himself and separate him from the intercessors. And then I saw the Lord take him and separate him from me and take him on up. And he says, no, you're not going to go. I'm going to take him where you haven't been and where you're not going, but that I will let you observe it from afar. You will see it. You will experience something, and you will know the essence of it, but that's all. And so I knew that. I knew that God had given that to me years ago. I knew that, see. But as I stood there at his feet, and we began to sing this song that was already coming forth when we came in there, and the various ones began to take their position, I was so jealous that every single one be in the right position, you know. And I wanted that one to be there and that one to be there because I knew what ministered to him. And I wanted every angel in its place, you know. The angels were willing, but sometimes the flesh they're in doesn't quite know. And so they all got in their positions. And as he began to be lifted up, all of a sudden I realized my two angels were right down there ministering to him. Something about that voice of George Boker and Dan King that just does something, I don't know. It just, but I said, no, I'm not going to. They're going to stay right there. He needs them and he's going to have them. Terrible, terrible loneliness flooded my soul. I felt like all of hell was released against me. I felt separated. I felt alone. I felt lonely. I don't know if I've ever felt so lonely in all my life as I felt at that moment. And all of a sudden, in all that loneliness, I heard a bass voice behind me. Oh, every bass note that I could hear was like a shield for me to grab onto. I could barely hear it, but it was back there someplace. The demons rushed in, the emotions that I'd experienced before, and I'm not talking about the ones that God had delivered me of that day. Some think that a pastor's wife never has any demonic problems or any demonic buffings, but you know, that just isn't quite true. It's just that maybe the pastor's wife doesn't verbalize them quite as much as the pastor. I've had the devil take me as a rag doll in the mouth of a lion and shake me. I know what those demons feel like. I know what every one of them feel like. That the devil is using against me. And there they all were. They rushed in on me. I wasn't expecting that. The Lord told me I couldn't go, but I wasn't expecting this. Oh, how I needed every voice right then. You don't know. I'm telling you this so you'll know. So you'll know that your voice is important. That note that you sing might be an anchor for somebody. You yield to it. Don't you dare hold back. And then there was a little shuffling behind me. And I couldn't hear it anymore. It faded. It was awfully dim in the first place, but now I couldn't hear it at all. And I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do if I don't have that. And so I turned around, and I didn't even know who it was, but I turned around, and there was Jerry Slomansky. I'm sure he didn't understand what I was saying, but trembling, I said, don't you dare move from that spot. He was all I had in that moment. That angel in him was holding those demonic forces from completely overcoming me. I wanted so much to just lean back on his chest and just be right there in that sheltered, anchored position. Then another brother came up and laid his hand on my shoulder. I felt that touch. Oh, what a strength that was. It lasted about 30 seconds and he moved it. Would have helped so much if I could have stayed there. But the Lord did not let those come upon me, because that voice behind me began to get stronger and stronger, and it began to move in between me and those demons. And I knew that voice was separating me from those demons. And those demons were right over there. But now there was a wall separating me from them. And then I found myself being able to take that position and minister this way like I should have been doing. And I knew that I would know when I should go down and join Don at his head. And when I saw the Spirit of God begin to do things, and once I got free of that force there, then I could begin to understand what was happening. I wanted so much to just lean back on his chest and just be right there in that sheltered, anchored position. Then another brother came up and laid his hand on my shoulder. I felt that touch. Oh, what a strength that was. It lasted about 30 seconds and he moved it. Would have helped so much if I could have stayed there. But the Lord did not let those come upon me, because that voice behind me began to get stronger and stronger, and it began to move in between me and those demons. And I knew that voice was separating me from those demons. And those demons were right over there. But now there was a wall separating me from them. And then I found myself being able to take that position and minister this way like I should have been doing. And I knew that I would know when I should go down and join Don at his head. And when I saw the Spirit of God begin to do things, and once I got free of that force there, then I could begin to understand what was happening this way. But I was so jealous that nothing be disturbed, that I came down around and I did not want to disturb anything there. And I tell you, I appreciate those girls. I appreciate them from the bottom of my heart. And they sat there for 2 hours with legs going to sleep, cramped in that position. It's awful hard to get that many angels around when they're in our bodies around, you know, there's only so many square inches there. And they were cramped up. One lady was laying her head over another. One had her feet over. So I mean, it was just my feet again swelled clear up like that. I had to take off my shoes. Somebody else came when I knelt down there at his hand and made sure that my feet were covered. I appreciate that. I appreciate every one of these ministries. They were just taking care of us so beautifully. But I didn't want to disturb, and so I just had my hand in there, but I stayed back because I wanted Paula to be able to be right there, because I know that ministers to him and so forth. And oh, I was so thankful that I had been freed from those demons, because then as I began, I put my hands on Don's temples, and as I did, all of a sudden I found myself in that place that God said I would be in. I felt that there was my spirit like a tube. The rest of me wasn't, you know, I wasn't involved. My emotions weren't involved. I mean, my physical, natural emotions weren't involved, because I was, it was above all that. It was above everything normal to this world, normal to the functioning of this body. Didn't have anything to do with that. And so I found myself as a tube there, and I was praying forth in tongues, even though no one could hear it, because by then I hardly had any voice left at all. But it was coming forth. And I have never prayed in tongues like that before in my life. And my hands were moving a little bit. It was just full of love. It was so matter of fact. It was like, well, this is just how it is, and this is going to be. And I knew that this had to do with his ministry, his position. And even though what was coming forth was absolutely astounding, just astounding, profound. But the way the Lord was doing it was with such authority, but it wasn't a commanding authority. It was just a quiet, peaceful, loving, matter-of-fact, this is how it's going to be thing. So beautiful. Oh, and then when that quit, I saw Don begin to come back down. You know, then he wanted me, he opened his eyes, he wanted me. Of course, now I was up behind him, And I reached over and he looked at me and he didn't know if it was me. I was so glad those demons were clear over there in the corner about that time. Otherwise, that would have devastated me totally. But you see, when you've been up there in that heavenly place, everything in the earth just looks so earthy that it just takes a while to relate. And so I just put my face down toward his face after we kissed, and I didn't ever want to leave that place. Oh, it was so precious, so precious. And he was weeping and weeping and weeping and thanking Jesus. But then I heard words come out of him, and he would just cry out, and he said, "It's shabby, it's so shabby, it's so shabby." And I thought, "Oh Lord, did you take him to hell or to heaven?" I thought it was going to take him to heaven, and here he's saying, "It's so shabby, it's just so shabby." And I was confused. I didn't know what was going on, but I just went, "Lord, you know, if you wanted to take him to hell, then that's what he needed to experience, I guess." But as he came out of it a little bit more and he wanted to just show his appreciation and love to those intercessors, and as he hugged Molly, and oh, how we appreciate that girl. God has used her. God has bound our hearts together. They're just like one. And Molly then sat up and began to weep with joy because God had done it. He had done it. He had done it. And all of a sudden, I saw those demons rush into Molly, create a vacuum in her heart, and make her feel like she was in a void and that there was no love. My heart ached. I know what that feels like. I couldn't wait to fall over those other intercessions and get over there to her and hug her. Say no, Molly. That's the trap of the devil. That's the trap of the devil. It's not true. It's not true. Every one of your desires for love is going to be met. You're going to experience love like you have never experienced love. This is the trap of the enemy, and those lies of the enemy were dispelled. Oh, I thank Jesus that he knows how to take care of his own. Do you know that the devil wasn't very happy about this happening to our pastor? He is furious. He is angry, but it's too late. It's too late. It's too late. It's too late. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. I wish you could have been there. Now, let me tell you what else was happening right then. Who was, you know, he's the one that's in charge of everything around here, except right underneath, that keeps everything nice. Wayne. There was Wayne over there, laughing and crying and shaking under the power of God. I'm going to tell you a little secret about Wayne. You remember way back when I experienced that whole thing about this move of God that was going to happen, and I told you that I saw two people dancing in the spirit? One was Wayne. Now, and I mean, you know, I thought, you know, Lord, can these bones live? It's going to happen. You watch it, and it's almost here. That man was so much under the power of God. He was weeping and laughing at the same time. He was laughing with joy and weeping because he was laughing. It was beautiful. And little Vicky over there having a dialogue with Jesus in English. You knew Jesus was right there. They were just sitting there on that park bench, and they were just dialoguing in English back and forth. It was beautiful. Several women were over here just lost in the glory of the Lord, and this beautiful song was coming forth. It was just beautiful. Daniel, shabby. Oh, yes, compared to where he had been. Compared to where he had been, anything to do with this earth and the moving of the Spirit in this earth and the moving of the Spirit to get us where we're supposed to be doesn't compare. It doesn't compare with that heavenly realm. It just doesn't compare. And he said, I'm just disappointed, you know. Here I am. I'm back. I have to put up with this, you know. With all this is so glorious. Oh, I'm trying to tell you there's something more. There's something more, folks, than where we're at now. There's something more, Keith Johnson. Oh, hallelujah, that you're going to experience. There's something more, music ministry. Oh, I wish you could have followed us. It was about, 1:30 in the morning as we closed our motel door behind us, and Don took me in his arms and began to weep and shared with me the glory and then the disappointment of having to come back. And though he knew it was needed, his body shook with tears as he sobbed. I knew that if I dared to begin to thank Jesus at that point, I wouldn't get any sleep. So I just kept putting it off. I said, no, I'm going to wait till morning, Lord, to begin to thank you for this. And we talked about the difference that our worship is going to be. And we said, you know, there's going to come a day when we're no longer going to be singing about victory and he did it for me. As wonderful as that is, and as much as we need it right now, so far below, we're going to come and it's just going to be worship. Worship, 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 worship. Holy, 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 holy. Oh, that experience did something in all of us. It gave us such a reverence for the position. I have such a reverence for this pastor. I have such a reverence for my husband. I get to reverence him in two ways. I can't keep my hands off him. I never have been able to, but now I really can't. But then after he went to sleep around 2 o'clock, I just wanted to just say one little thank you to Jesus. At 5:30 in the morning, I dropped off to sleep, and at 6:32 I was awakened again by the Lord. That's when the time I had to get up anyway. And as I got up, it was a different tenor. It was Friday morning now, and there was something else God wanted to do, and I felt the solemnness of it all. I knew the gist of it. I knew God wanted to deal with our eldership. But it was like it was down in here, and I didn't dare yield to it at that point, or else I wouldn't even be able to do my normal functions. And we went to breakfast, and we sat across from Renee and Wayne, and I could hardly, of course I didn't have any voice, so I couldn't talk anyway, but I could hardly have any communication with what was going on because of the solemnness of the Lord that was upon me. When I went over then to our room, our meeting room, and began to pray, the deep intercession of the Lord took a hold of me, and I began to weep and weep and weep and weep. You see, when God did that operation on me, there was one area that he didn't touch. And walking back to my room once, I thought, you know, I'm going to give this testimony, Jesus. And I'm going to include every single thing, because I know that you probably included that area, but it just didn't come to my mind. And so, because I want everybody to know that every single thing is taken care of, and I feel so pure inside. I feel absolutely pure. I feel so whole. I feel so one with the Lord. And I feel like there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing between. There's no hurts. I can see now what was so important for the Lord to take all those hurts out of me before those demons rushed me. If those demons would have rushed me, and if they would have had a hurt that they could have grabbed onto, you know, I don't know, but they couldn't find any ground. Not because of me, but because Jesus had done it. He had just done it that morning, or the morning before. So I was so thankful. But I said, Jesus, I'm just going to include this area. I know I have a hurt in my heart concerning the eldership, but I'm going to, and the power of the Lord came on me. He says, no, you are not going to include anything that I did not include. And I've had the Lord give me a slap like that before. And I know the solemnness of the Lord. And so I said, I'm sorry, Jesus. I won't say anything you don't want me to say. Well, this morning I knew why. God wanted to use that. And that is why he left it there, because he took his own broken heart. And he let me experience his hurt. And he said, I'm coming to render a judgment on the eldership. Let me tell you, that judgment was not wrath. That judgment was not a solemn spanking type of thing at all. That judgment was the broken heart of our Lord. And the Lord used me because I had this little tiny hurt, actually. It was awfully small in comparison to what Jesus' hurt was. And the Lord began to show me how the devil had bound up the eldership in so many areas that the Lord had called them to minister to this body in, but that the devil would bind them up and bind them up, and they couldn't get outside of this bind that was there. And that the Lord wanted and was requiring of them to recognize and to repent of this and say, I will, and what God was going to do to heal those hurts that the devil had inflicted upon them. And I went to Don and said, God wants to deal with the eldership, and I've got the heart of God, and I was just sobbing. As we had the eldership just gather right around in front of us, and we sat in a chair, and I sobbed out from the heart of God that which God's desire was. And as Don took the mic and began to explain some things and add some teaching and so forth to it, I sat there, and I tell you, I thought my insides were going to break open. The deep, deep sobs of the Lord. I tried to be quiet so that it wouldn't disturb, but oh, the groaning, the hurt was so much. And I felt like I can't exist much longer with this hurt. I'm going to break and die if this hurt doesn't get taken care of. The Lord gave a message in tongues and interpretation through Jeannie. And then the spirit of prophecy came upon Marvin, and Marvin stood up and began to give forth a prophecy. And that was just so anointed and of the Lord, and the way it came forth with direction in it of repentance. And it's like a spirit of repentance just fell as he began to go like this. With his hands, you could just see a spirit of repentance just came wham, wham. I tell you, I wish you could have seen that eldership. Michael was there doubled over, his face to the floor, his shoulders shaking with weeping. Every one of them were sobbing. When that prophecy came forth, George was sitting right over here, George Albers, by my knees, and he said, amen, amen, assenting to what God was telling them to do and to be. And both of those amens were just like, it healed something in me. Precious Greg Thiel grabbed the mic, stood to his feet, and sobbed out the bondage that the devil had him in, the fear. He knew God had bring him things, but the devil, that demon of fear, would grab him. Oh, my heart of compassion went out. I couldn't help but rush to him and thank him and love him and love him, because it was healing. It was healing my heart. It was healing Jesus' heart. I felt that healing. Oh, repentance. Oh, if you knew what repentance did to the Spirit of the Lord, you would be quick to repent. I'm sorry would be the major word in your vocabulary. Oh, it was so wonderful. That repentance came forth. And God did a healing work in that brother, and he lifted those demons of fear off of him. And something happened, and I can't go through all of them, but elder after elder got up weeping, confessing that which they knew God had given them to do and that which they were going to step into. Russell got up knowing that God has called him for the gift of prophecy, and he made commitments in that area to bear any shame, any reproach, and so forth. Oh, what a healing, what a healing. I feel in such a protected position. I feel so blessed by all of that happened. Before it was over, I found that I was completely healed. But then, you know what? Right then, you know what needed to happen? Not lunch, as we had to go to, though. That was our very last day. We had to be out of there in a few minutes. The lunch was, you know, and, you know, those elders, and they needed to have a flock of singing angels come then and lift them up in the heavenly places, and they needed to experience that which I experienced on Wednesday that I want to share with you. They needed to be lifted up into that high place in Jesus. Can't I encourage your hearts? Take your positions for your elders. Don't leave them now. Don't leave them now. They're all freshly cleansed. They're all tender-hearted. They're all open for the move of the Spirit. They're all ready to go there, but they need those angels to carry them there. Won't you fulfill your places and do it? Now I see that I'm encroaching upon the message, and so I guess I'm going to leave that which I experienced for another time. That place that God's going to put all of us in, and why it's so necessary that we get there. Oh, I love you so much. Now there's nothing that happened in that meeting with the elders that God doesn't also want to do with you. He wants to give you such a spirit of praise and worship. He wants to give you a spirit of desperation. He wants to give you a spirit of presence, of repentance. He wants to cause you to be free of every one of your demons. He wants to put a new willingness. He wants to bestow gifts upon you. And He wants to lift you up in that relationship with Him that I'll explain at another time.
Hey, go ahead and take another 5-10 minutes if you want.
I feel that this is so important that we understand this. It's going to be our safety. It's going to be our safety, and I'll tell you why. Otherwise, the power of the man-child ministry will destroy us. The power of the man-child ministry will destroy us if we do not come into this other position. This is what I experienced. And this is a position that isn't beyond any of us. This is where the Lord wants every one of us to go. The Lord put me in a position up here where Jesus dwells. Now it is, I didn't say He put me up there where in the heavens where Don went. But He put me in a place where Jesus dwells as He resides over this planet. Not up there in that other realm, but up above this. There is nothing earthly up there. It's easier to explain what isn't up there than what is. In that place, and this is the place where God is calling us to be able to project ourselves instantly and be there and live there, and then come back down just long enough to minister and go right back up there again. He wants us to live in this realm, in the presence of Jesus. It is not earthly. It has nothing to do with your bodily sensations. It has nothing to do with your emotions. So if you experience, if you say, oh, well, I'm just not an emotional person, so I could never have that. No, it doesn't have anything to do with your bodily makeup or your soulish makeup. And so the most stoic man that has never cried a tear in his life that needs to be delivered can still get there. See, it has nothing to do with whether you're a man or a woman at all. Because it's outside the realm of the natural. It's outside the realm of the human. You feel deeply, but it isn't your emotions that's feeling, because your emotions aren't involved. It's your spirit. So it's in the complete spiritual realm, but it's different in as much as your spirit is so united with the Spirit of the Lord that they are just one. And so it's not like, oh, I just feel the love. The love is tremendous. It's just tremendous. But it's not that, oh, you know how you just felt the love of the Lord and it's just bathed down over your soul and bathed your soul. This isn't like that. Because you are so transparent that you are the love. It isn't like you're just feeling the love. You are the love. It's not that you're feeling the joy. There's joy. There's a deeper joy than you have ever experienced. But it's not that you're experiencing it. It is that you are it. You find yourself that you are. You're all of the attributes that is mentioned in the Bible about the Lord. You're in that place. There you are. You are it. You are. And it's the most deepest experiencing of the love, the peace, the joy, the compassion, the mercy, the grace, the preciousness, the gloriousness, the righteousness, the holiness that you can possibly imagine. And it makes everything of this earth and all the ministry seem so unimportant, so matter-of-fact. So it's in a completely different ballpark. So that no matter what kind of tremendous power you have flowing through you, it can't touch you to pride. Because it doesn't compare to this. It doesn't compare. It's insignificant. You can reach down out of this realm and be a vessel for the spirits to move through you, and it'll be just as if somebody else did it. Because this is your prize. Not the glory of that. The glory of that doesn't compare with the glory of this. There's no way you can compare it. So there's no competition. There's no competition. The angels and you get in glory because angels are moving through you. It's no competition. For Jesus, none. Oh, you'd much rather have Him once you've been united to Him in that way. You see, and so that's why I say it's going to be our protection. Because when we're in that realm, we won't even want to take glory to ourselves. Because it's so far inferior that it has absolutely no pull. Just like you can't tempt Don to smoke a cigarette, there's no pull, or me either. There is no pull there. See, it's the same thing. There is no pull for any glory. There is no pull for any aggrandizement. And you don't care. It makes no difference if you're the pipeline or somebody else is a pipeline. There's absolutely no competition at all because there's something else that's clear up here. And all the worship and the praise, that's all you want to do is glorify, magnify, worship Jesus. There's no more of, oh, He did it for me and I am so thankful and that I got something now from God. Not that we don't need thankfulness, and I'm so thankful that we have things from the Lord and we got to have the gifts and we got to have the moving of the Spirit. But all of those are just tools, you see, to get us equipped, to take us. But it's this realm that we've got to move in. It's this realm that, you know what it's going to cost you? Everything. Because, and that's why it's so simple. You don't take anything with you. You don't take one single thing of the world with you. You don't take one friend with you. You don't take one spiritual experience with you. You don't take one ministry with you. You take nothing with you. And do you know that it's just you when you're there and Jesus? And it's as if there's nobody else exists but just you and Jesus. So you can't go in on community chapel. Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference about any of your elders, ministers, anybody else at all. It is you alone with Jesus, but it's not scary to be alone with Jesus because you're experiencing it in such a way that you're so totally transparent that you're so in Him and it's just so, and you are. You are that. You're everything there. It's, oh, I just can't explain. There's no words to explain it. But that's where the Lord wants us to live and dwell. Now, I want to tell you what that has done. Not that experience now, but this whole retreat. It has given us such a reverence. The holy reverence of the Lord fell upon us. We have such a reverence for our eldership. The Lord has placed them. You would think, oh, they had to humble themselves and get up and confess those things. No, it caused us to revere them. A holy reverence fell upon each one of us. We reverence our pastor like never before. We reverence the eldership. We reverence the satellite pastors. We reverence the satellite elders like we never have before. This thing is just beginning. Let it flood over unto you.
I love the Lord with all my heart. I love Jesus. I know some of you parents are undoubtedly struggling with some of your children who are used to going to children's church and are still in your arms, I think, but you just have to take care of them the best you can. We'll still endeavor to close at 1 o'clock. Now, very shortly thereafter, this evening, I won't be able to bring my message this morning. I have a message on the spirit realm. And I wanted to mention another thing that I did not tell you Friday night. And we'll endeavor to have other testimonies tonight as well. First of all, I want to say I love my wife with all my heart. I've always loved her. But after this experience that God just took me away in the spirit, in vision, I'm not saying I actually left. I don't believe the spirit ever left this body. But in this vision where it's just as, it is just as real, you know, as if you were there. God knows how to wrap you away in spirit and let you experience and see things that are just as real as if you're there. Now, but when I came back from that experience, I have a love for my wife far beyond I've ever had. I have a love for Jesus. I wept and sang for an hour of that 2 hours of my love for the Son of Man. I have a love for Jesus as the Son of Man I've never had before. It used to be, you know, I said, well, you can't, you know, worship the man of Nazareth. Can't really love him. You didn't know him as a human. You only can love him as Jesus. But after that vision and that experience, and I recognize that he is our advocate, he's our intercessor, he loves us. And I now understand, you know, I thought, well, you know, can he as a human being, glorified man in heaven, really hear everybody and know? How can he? But the scriptures say he's our intercessor, he's our advocate. I want you to know I learned something about that realm. I'll be explaining some of that tonight. I've learned something about that realm, and I want to let you know he can, with every single one of us, intercede for us, love us, understand. And I have come to a love for him as the Son of Man, as well as the Lord Jesus, as well as God. When I was, you know, I wasn't able to feel his presence as I wanted to feel it. And for so long, I have wanted to be caught up into that heavenly realm. And I've had wonderful experiences in God, but it just seemed like I couldn't get there into that realm that I wanted to be. God has shown me many things. In the last 3 years, I've had experiences I've never had in my entire life. This last 3 years has been different. And every year it's been building something new and something new, and now again, something new again. It's wonderful. But I longed to be there, and I just couldn't seem to do everything I knew. And so again, at that elders' retreat, it just seemed like, you know, I wasn't able to really feel that spirit and be caught away into that realm. When I came in there Thursday night, and that song, as it was beginning to come forth, was a vehicle, I knew. You know, even though my wife had said, well, honey, tonight's the night, you know, I mean, that didn't mean anything to me any more than the fact, well, she loves me, trying to encourage me, you know. So many times I have labored, I have struggled like you have. I'm saying this for your edification, for your comfort. I wanted to be there. I did everything. I tried to project myself. I tried to visualize. I tried to say, I come. I tried to say, take me. I tried to say this. I tried to do that. I tried everything that there was. Maybe some things that there wasn't. But you know, God's way up there and you're right down here. And there's no way you can get there unless he takes you there. So I said, well, Lord, we'll just be faithful, just continue to pray. God gave so many, he gave so many promises and so many promises, and so everybody was getting visions from him, promises, and it's like, you know, almost like delusions of grandeur, this grand thing that was promised me. But the half was not told. The half was not told. And all of a sudden, I walked into that room, and instantly I knew that that was a vehicle for me to be caught away. I thought maybe I was going to have to leave that retreat and come back saying, I have not been changed. God used me. You know, I felt his presence. He used me to minister to people. I wept and laughed and I had discernment, but I wasn't changed. And I've come back changed. Just from that experience. I mean, it wasn't anything that I really did that caused me to be changed. It wasn't a repentance on my part. It wasn't anything except the experience that God sovereignly gave at his own pleasure. I didn't do one thing to get there. Not a thing. I just said I was in limbo, you know. I didn't understand why I was in limbo. And all of a sudden I walked in there and that thing got a hold of my heart, and I knew I wasn't long for this world. And I instantly went over to Brother Williams. Said Brother Williams, so I feel it drawing you. I said, if I go out, you take care of the ship. And I knew that I was going to go out. You know, I knew that I could not last very long. I knew I was leaving. So I just said, don't you take care of the ship? I'm going, you know. And I laid down, and I was gone in a very short time. As I lay in that floor, I began to hear that minister begin to come, and I began to sing and praise the Lord about meeting Jesus in the air. I saw him in a vision of being in the air, and I wasn't away to the heavenly realm. And that was so wonderful to me. It was just so wonderful to be able to meet him in the air. And the thought that struck my mind at that time is, when I come back down, I could just visualize myself. I just wanted to throw my arms around Molly, who's been just, you know, I've had a lot of people pray for me, and intercessors, rotating, but she was there on each one of them, you know, each time. And I wanted to throw my arms around her and said, Molly, the day has come. The day has come. But I hadn't even got there yet. And when I came back down, it was another realm, and I wasn't able to do what I thought I was going to do with that such exuberance, because I had left that area of exuberance and went to something far beyond. It was a wonderful experience for me. I found myself with a new softness. I found myself able to take things, you know, in a different way. A person came down, as I told you, who had been a Jehovah's Witness and in the Church of Christ, came down with the person was sweet enough, came down with a finger in the Bible, you know, what about this and this. And I just had such a love and a quietness that the person couldn't find anything to contend against. There wasn't anything there, and that's not me. I want to let you know that our eldership bears no resemblance to what they used to be. And that's the truth. I don't mean God's finished with them yet. I don't mean they're perfect. I don't mean that they won't ever feel carnal. But I mean they're different. They are so much different than what we used to be. So much different. Our eldership ministry don't even bear any resemblance. And I am not the same. And that's true with so many, because of going to these retreats and God's been doing things. I see people around here that are so changed, you would never believe that they could ever be in that place. And as I said before, some of those that seemed the most dead were alive in God and worshiping and praising Him, bound, so they could not pray, they could not feel, they could not do any spiritual worship on the outside. Choked down to just a little something inside, I suppose. Dancing in the Spirit and free and praising the Lord and loving Him and laughing and weeping. I tell you, God can do anything. And you don't have to do anything. There's nothing you can do to get there. You do have to open your heart and open the door. He's not going to come upon every dead, inconsiderate person who doesn't care and not crying out to God. I don't mean to imply that. But I mean, after you've done all that you can do, there's no way you can get there. No way you can get there. No way to say, now, Lord, I've done it. Now, how come you haven't done your part? You don't deserve anything. We deserve nothing. Nothing but the covenant, you know, that He delivered us from hell to heaven someday. But He'll do that work. He'll just do it, and you'll be there. When He takes you, you're there. You're there. I have a new revelation of the sovereignty of God. I have a new revelation of the awesome authority and beauty of the Son of God. And especially have a new revelation of the sovereignty and the awesome holiness of God the Father. And there, as I saw in that spirit realm, and I was singing, angels do not dare to even whisper over there. When God the Father speaks, they let down the wings and they cover their eyes. When God speaks in that realm, there every song ceases. There is not a voice the angels would not dare to ever whisper to somebody something. Isn't this wonderful? They would never dream to whisper. When God the Father speaks, there's a total, immediate silence. Oh, bow before Him and give it all some reverence. And as Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, holy be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in that place there would be no one who would ever dare question God. There would be no one who would ever dare question God. No one would ever dare be busy about anything, would want to be. And my friend, God's going to impact us someday to realize that He wants His will done on earth. And who He is, and we come to the revelation of who He is, we're going to be different in how we think and live. We have come clattering into God's presence with filthy hands and feet, levity, lightness, yawning, apathy, lethargy, unbelief, skepticism, unwillingness, hardness of heart, blame for God. Oh, my friend, you ever meet, get into that realm, you'll know better than to ever blame God for anything. He is more holy and awesome. He's absolutely overpowering. And yet it's all love. But you know, we learned also so clearly that God has no judgment in His heart toward His people. With all of our miserable failings, He only loves us. He only loves us. Over and over again I've seen this. He didn't want to do anything but heal. He just wanted to heal. He just wanted to love and to heal. There was nothing in Him that was, you're wrong, I want to judge you. God has no such heart, my friend. Don't let any demon ever lie to you. He only wants to heal. And I've been brought to a place, it doesn't make any difference to me anymore what anybody has ever done to me. I can't judge. It makes no difference in my heart. I don't care. It makes no difference. I just see the whole thing now as, you know, it's all demonic. Demonic interference. They did not know or understand what's happened to them. But through their own weaknesses, but it's not mine to judge weaknesses. Demons came in, they could not gainsay, no resist. They didn't know how to, they couldn't overpower them. They just overpowered them. And it brought them to a place where they couldn't think clearly. They felt things that were not theirs. And when the demon in them said, well, I just feel. And the person thought that was them saying, I just feel. And it was a demon feeling that way, not them. They had all kinds of judgments that were demonic judgments. That's how demons were feeling. And they just accepted it as theirs. And so they did what they did and acted like they did. And it takes away all judgment. I don't have any blame. I don't care anymore what anybody ever did or anything. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference who's doing what. You know, it's all in God's hands. And when I saw in that vision God take hold of the ends of the universe, you know, as a giant helm, steering the universe, I knew that God was in control. I knew that God was in control. All things are going to be done according to His own will and according to His glory. No one can do anything. The demons are puny little beings. The devil is so puny underneath God. He's allowing them to do and relate to man and put pressure on man to drive him into His arms. He still holds us responsible. But God's heart is only to love. I'll just mention one thing. I'm closing this tonight, this morning. I was ministering earlier to Pam Mabey, the Kirkland Church. And as I knelt down right behind her head, she was lying on the floor, and I began to pray for her, the Lord began to, I just felt a love for her, and the Lord began to reveal certain demons that had entered to cause her problems. And these were the major things. These were things that God brought. I wasn't just guessing or running through some gamut of list or something. And when I mentioned that, and she just began to laugh and to laugh, she knew God had revealed it. And I just would say, she doesn't need you to defend her. The spirit of this attitude, she doesn't need you to defend her. The love of Jesus shall defend her. And the revelation was so clear that she doesn't feel that way, you feel that way. Get out. And she'd laugh and laugh. And she knew the thing was broken because the revelation was there. That's not me after all. I don't need to be this way when people do this. I don't have to react this way to defend myself. The love of Jesus will defend me. I don't need demons to defend me. We've allowed demons to defend us. Are you there, church? We have allowed evil spirits to defend us. Spirits of anger and justification and defensiveness and jealousies and all these things. Even though we love God and even if we think we're right, we have allowed spirits to come and speak out and defend us. And it's an ugly defense instead of a sweet defense. But the love of Jesus will defend us. And one by one, these things are just going like this. And then the Lord. You see, the Lord had no... He had no judgment on her for these. He was lovingly pointing them out so that we might know. And so he might take them out so that he might be glorified and we might be free. And that was the extent of his heart on the matter. And God gave me a couple of visions, and I'll just show very quickly what he wanted to do in her. And I saw that the Lord had a dress for her to put on, a robe. And he showed me the collar. And it was beautiful. And I began to weep. And as I said at the elders' retreat, and I showed this, I said, you know, I'm not into women's collars and, you know, women's fashions that much to be weeping over the collar, you know? But this was so beautiful. And he showed me the collar, and the dress was folded up. And all I could see was the collar, and the collar stood higher than the head. And it was like a giant fan that came not only down this way, but it wrapped around this way. And the lace, it wasn't lace, but it was so intricate. My first impression was, it's like a snowflake under the microscope. But I said, no, it doesn't look like snow. It has a sparkle, has a solidity and a sparkle the snowflake doesn't have. It's more like spun glass. But no, it doesn't look like shabby glass. And it doesn't look like silver or something because it's not metal. I mean, there's nothing here of that material, but it had a glow. And it was so intricate and beautiful and regal. And I knew that a person who wore a collar higher than their head, around their head, I knew the dress had to be commensurate with it. I knew she wasn't going to wear that with some jeans and tennis shoes. I knew she wasn't going to wear it out into the... of this earth. I knew it had to be something in a stately place in the Lord. And I said, I don't know what it means, but it's beautiful. And then the Lord revealed to me that this was his love and holiness he was putting about her head. And he emphasized that all would know, would see her and see the love and the holiness of God about her and know that it wasn't her, but something the Lord put on her and about her head. And they would know that the Lord did this. It was apart from her, but now it was hers. And then I saw Jesus. I see Jesus standing across the river. She began to laugh. Cry or laugh, I can't remember. She began to laugh. And then I saw him hold his arms out, and he had a box like this in his arm, a package. I said, and he's got something for you. He's got a box he's holding. I don't know what's in it, but he's got a box for you. And what I was impressed with is that it wasn't just that he'd got something for her, but it is that he has something for her. And he was holding it out to her. And he was not going to bring it to her. She had to come and get it. Something he wanted her to come to him to receive, but then he would give it. Something of his making, and it was for her. And then after we prayed, you know, as prayed as to what the Lord would reveal, as to what it was, or that she'd be able to come and receive it, or whatever. Previously on this dress, I said, Lord, show me the rest of the dress. Can we see the rest of the dress? And he said, no, this is a secret that I'm going to unfold to her in my due time. And but I know it has to be a beautiful, it has to be commercial with a collar. And then I saw what was in the box, and I couldn't resist saying to her, I began to laugh, and I said, I couldn't resist saying, would you like me to tell you what it is? And you know, women can never stand a curiosity. And she began to laugh, you know, at the ridiculousness of the question. And I saw, I said, it's a beautiful necklace about 5 inches deep. About that deep. Down here, I came up to like this, and it was beautiful, beautiful greens. I mean, emerald greens, nothing is nothing. This was a beautiful greens. It was casting off a green hue with gorgeous amber. And out of that green was coming fine, most penetrating, brilliant white lights. I described them like porcupine quills as to the size, because they're about that long, with a point at each end, and a little short one, and another, and we're just going, it was emanating these sharp, brilliant white lights, bright streaks coming out, and out of the green glow, and it was a beautiful, with that amber. And I said, but I don't know what it means. And we prayed, and I said, Lord, what does this mean? What is this? What does it represent? And after a while, I realized what it represented, and that's when I asked her this. Oh, no, I realized what it represented, and I told her, I said, that necklace that the Lord wants you to come and receive from him, this represents something he wants to put on your breastbone, under your neck, because it wasn't right on the neck, it was down here, something up forward on you for all to see that he wants to put there about you, and it represented grace, not the grace of God. But the Lord let me know he wanted to give her grace so that when she was in difficult situations, she'd be able to show grace in those situations. As opposed to letting spirit rile up something, you know, and wham back and in awkward situation, becoming awkward in it. And I said, you know, it's like, in a, it was so stately. And to go with this beautiful white collar, and I said, when you're dressed in this fine array before the Lord, you know, as a queen, when you cross the floor with a king, the Shulamite, you know, she crossed the palace floor with Solomon. If somebody would hurl some, you know, disgusting remark out from the side, she wouldn't do like Nelson Rockefeller did and curse back at the person one time. But she wouldn't do a thing about it. She would show grace. You know, you can't see her stopping and picking up the tomato thorn and slinging it back with a, well, I'll, you know, and, well, I mean, she's beyond that station. As if even an earthly queen would be beyond that station. And that she, God wanted her to act with grace under those situations and not with what she had been yielding to under those situations, see? But he's going to give her grace that she'd be able. And that's as far as the Lord revealed. But you see, in all of this, the Lord just wanted to get rid of the spirits that she glommed onto to protect her when people would come and put her in an ugly situation where she felt hurt, she felt grieved, she felt put down, she felt frustrated, she didn't know what to do. The spirits would rush in and say, here I am. My name is Sarcasm. I can tell them a thing or two. Boy, you've just arrived just in time. You're handy. I didn't know what to say. I didn't have any words to say. I could use a little bit of wise sarcasm, a little bit of put down. And then that spirit would give that, and we would, here it would come, see? And then another thing, and well, I tell you, really feel low? I'll get a spirit of pride. It'll lift you up. I'm just talking hypothetically now, not particularly about Pam. Lift you up. So you won't feel low. That will protect you, make you feel good. And then a spirit of disdain will come and make them feel real small. And before they were big and you were little, now we'll just reverse it and you'll be big and they'll be little. Now, when that happens, you can tell them a few things. We'll let snobbery come. We'll let, you know, a lot of other wise remarks and vehemence and various things come, and anger and disdain, and we'll plow them under and you'll be able to walk away. Big wheel. See? And we've allowed those spirit. And God says, now instead of that, I want to get rid of those things so I can give you my love and grace. So in that hour you can stand and not buffet them back and show the love of God that will be like coals of fire upon their heads and melt their hearts. Jesus said, you know, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And so instead of smiting them back, why instead loving them back? Till they say, behold, what manner of man is this that loves back when I smite? Then they feel ashamed of themselves. Then they can't hit you because you're not doing anything but loving. This is what God wants to give. This is why God is bringing deliverance. That we might, all his heart is, I want to heal you and get rid of this and heal your hurts and give you my grace and then catch you into heavenly places in Christ Jesus and bless you and give you the glory of my presence and make you what I want you to be. And then when you come down from the mountaintop, your face shining with the glory of God after being in the presence of God, now you'll be able to meet the world head on because you're in the world but not of it. And now you'll be able to show forth Jesus. And you can say, not I, but Christ that dwelleth within. And then people will be drawn to the Lord. And the demons and the ugliness of the situation will be obvious and before all. And then the Lord will be glorified. Oh, I love him so much, and I love you. I love you, and I'm just so thankful for what God has done and for what he's going to do. I would like you to stand. I would like you to bow your heads. Heavenly Father, those that are in the sound of my voice this morning that have deep hurts within their heart, wounds inflicted by demons through other Christians, hurts, misrepresentations by spirits of other Christians, misjudging, misunderstanding, misapplying, showing him coldness and stiffness rather than love. Father, those that are deeply hurt and wounded, those that have been tossed from the judgment by demon spirits, those that have been impacted from the armies of hell that have come to bring strategies against God's sons. They were walking with God. They loved the Lord. They testified in his name. They were one with his body and with one another. But the enemy has sown tears in the field of their hearts. Their minds have been dissuaded from the love, and the divider has divided. Father, those who have alienated themselves and had become critical in their minds and judgmental because the devil has come in to do this. This is not of God. This is of the devil, and God does not want it nor permit it in his awesome holy presence. If we love not the brethren, we love not the Father, Jesus said. And in his presence, he will not permit it, but that thing will have to be judged and cut off. That he might heal, that he might bless, that he might strengthen. And Father, I pray now that each one who has been thus affected in their hearts and lives that are standing here in this assembly, that in the midst of their hearts that they might cry out unto you now and say, Father, heal me. Father, I surrender these hurts. I surrender these pains. I surrender these attitudes I've held. I know they're not of God. I surrender this justification, Father, for there's no justification. No justification to become unlovely and not like Jesus. No justification to usurp your judgment and judge in your place as the great judge of heaven and earth. For you are judge, and you have commanded us, judge not, lest you also be judged. Stop judging one another, for then you are not under the law, but then you are above the law, and you become a judge, and you judge the law, and you are judging the great lawgiver as not being able to judge, and therefore you judge in place of him. The Lord has already told us, don't judge one another, for you do not know the difference between what the demons do and what they do. Father, I pray that you might heal their hearts right now. Lord, I pray that you'll bring a revelation of your love. Lord, I pray that you'll penetrate that realm of demonic spirits that have engulfed them. And I pray, Lord, that the Comforter shall come into their hearts and comfort them in this hour. I pray, Lord, they might yield unto you, they might break. For, Lord, you said, unless we fall upon that stone and be broken, it'll fall upon us and grind us to powder. And I pray, Lord, that their hearts will be broken, the old clay pot will be broken. And let the glory of the Lord be seen in their lives, that Jesus might heal them and strengthen them and make them brand new. Lord, do spiritual surgery on their heart in this hour. Remove those things. Help them to give it up. Help them to see it. Give them a revelation. Give them a revelation of what the devil has done to decimate the body of Christ. Bring forth thy great love and power, O Lord. Show them by revelation this morning, Lord, only you can satisfy the heart. Only you can heal. Only you can reveal. Our minds are so blinded, our hearts are desperately deceitful, and who can know it? We do not know ourselves, know one another. But Lord, you know everyone, and you love everyone. And you are not coming to judge, but you are coming, Lord, to heal and to set free. Set your children free, every demonic spirit. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, on the authority of the Word of God. And I command you to take you imps off of everyone who's thus affected, who is calling out with honesty from his heart, with his whole heart calling out, asking the Lord to deliver him, willing to be delivered, willing to think different about the situation, willing to feel different about the situation, willing to trust the blood of Jesus Christ, willing to trust the Spirit of the Lord, willing to humble themselves, willing to let God heal them, willing to trust God and not these spirits, who would say, I do not believe as these spirits believe and make me feel and think. I will reject them. I don't want to feel this way any longer. I don't want to believe this way any longer. I now count these feelings and these thoughts as not being mine, but being from the devil. I rebuke him in Jesus' name. I will not believe that way any longer towards my brother or sister, but I will surrender. I will not quit coming to the altar to bring my gifts and leave something against my brother. I right now, Lord, ask forgiveness. I now forgive. I now come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, just heal each one now in the name of Jesus and bless your people and strengthen them. Help us to walk together in love and the holiness of God. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name, amen, amen.
Yea, my people, I would have you to leave the earthly and to leave the carnal and to come up to the heavenly and to rise up to the spiritual. As a child plays in the middle of a highway and does not know that he is in danger, so you have dwelt in comfort and false ease and have not known that you are about to be run over. Yea, do I not love you more than that child's mother? Will I not pick you up? Will I not scold you? Will I not spank you? Yea, I tell you, I will cause you to sting, and I will cause you to itch. Yea, and I will cause you to jump, saith the Lord. And you will know that I, the Lord your God, have done this. I tell you that the enemy will come, and he will bring false healings, and he will bring false physicians, and he will set before you false medicines. And you will look at what is happening, and you will say, the devil is doing this. Yea, and indeed, it will be the enemy who is doing this. But yea, I, the Lord your God, will be behind this. For I will use this to make you move. And I tell you, there will be no healing. There will be no injury where there is not healing. There will be no itching where there is not balm to soothe and to stop that itching. But yea, you will itch and you will sting and you will hurt until you come up to where I want to bring you. And when you are there, you will look back not as one who looks back having put his hand to the plow, but you will look back as one who has been set free from prison, and you will breathe the air of freedom, and you will rejoice in the Lord your God.
I want to just share for a couple of seconds one thing that happened to me at the elders' retreat, and I feel this morning as the service has gone along that this is, that it fits and it's critical for us to understand this. And the very last night of the elders' retreat, as I saw the glory of God going on around me, I felt, not panic, but I felt desperate inside to get into the glory of God. And it might almost sound wrong in a sense, but I felt desperate to feel God's presence and to feel His glory. I knew I needed that. And as I was being prayed for late on Thursday night, without going into the other details, I began to tremble. I knew that there was, and this had happened before, God had delivered me from things during that week. And Maureen Sabrin was there praying, and she leaned over and she said, "I come against you, spirit of a fear of disappointment in God." And I felt really vulnerable. I just was looking up into her face. I felt vulnerable, but I knew immediately that that was what it was. And she began to say things and I began to repeat them. And then she said, "Jesus will never disappoint you." And I began to repeat it, and I got about two of the words out, and two things happened in an instant. One is that spirit left. I knew it. It left, just like that. But more importantly, the revelation of God filled my mind. Jesus will never disappoint me. And I tried to get the next words out, and that's when I just burst out laughing, and then I couldn't control it. The reason I'm saying that, and then things began to break, and I felt God's glory come. There had been a wall there for years, years and years and years. And I'm literally years that had kept me from the glory of God, from receiving. And it was a fear of being somehow disappointed in God. And as we hear what our pastor shared and his wife, now that seems... Not that, I don't know where God's going to take me, but that doesn't seem like, oh, just like goes way over my head. God will not disappoint us. He longs to do whatever we need to have done inside, and we don't need to stand back with that wall there saying, yeah, but I can never get there. God's calling us to move way up into it, test the barriers, to move out. Jesus does, He will not disappoint us. And I think we need to take that understanding into our mind and our spirit that the glory of God is where He's calling us to, and that He will, it doesn't matter if it's been years and years that you've walked in your natural mind, He wants to take you there and He won't disappoint you in that thing.